podcast. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
And I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast on Instagram. Right. This dude has a website.
JustinFullerComedy.com. Check it out.
Check it out. And as you can see, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest.
We do.
He is a fellow comedian.
Yes.
A father.
Yes.
Grandfather.
Yes.
A husband.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Brent Little Daddy, y'all.
Yeah. Woo.
Yes, yes, yes.
Welcome, sir.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Where can they find you, man?
Yes.
Well, I'm Little Daddy, Little Daddy Comedy. On platforms on Instagram and YouTube, you can find me at Little Daddy Comedy. It's one word. Especially on my YouTube. You'll love my YouTube page. You get to see my videos. And on Facebook, I'm known as Mo Motown, but they might let you in under Lil Daddy Comedy.
So is that L-I-L Daddy or L-I-T-T-L-E?
No, that's L-I-L Daddy.
Lil Daddy.
Not Little Daddy, Lil Daddy.
Lil Daddy.
Lil Daddy. All right, now that's where you can find him. Yeah, man, my first time seeing Lil Daddy was at an old place called Hatfields.
Hatfields.
And I don't know.
It was that long?
Yeah.
Hatfields on the west side?
Yeah.
That's when John.
Yep.
Bruton? No, John. Armstrong.
Armstrong.
I don't think Armstrong was hosting that night. I think it might have been Jimmy that night.
Oh.
And I don't know.
Jimmy that be at Hatfields? I mean, the Jimmy that be at
LVT.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think he was there that night. And I don't know what was said. But you wasn't too pleased.
Oh, yeah.
He was going off.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Did you bump?
I don't know if you didn't get to go up or you got skipped. I think you did finally go up later. You got bumped.
Yeah.
And then after you left, you know, you had some words for.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I think that when I was new into the game. Because I feel a fair shake for everybody.
No.
Oh, no. You reacted the way you should have.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, I'm new on the game, and then I'm working a job. I ain't got time to be out all night.
Yep.
Now, I had this here spot.
Yeah.
My life, you know, punctuality is a must with me. You know what? If you late, you might as well just continue to be late.
Right.
It's only one thing that I want to be late for, and that's the funeral home.
Right.
Everything else, I'm going to be on time. I'm going to be early.
Yeah.
You know, just like Cool C, I went my phone, and I think he sent me the wrong address. He had me down the road down there by how you go down the street going down to the zoo.
To the zoo?
I was way down at the address on that one house. I think it was 4556 or some shit like that.
4556.
And I called him, but I'm glad I called I'm glad that I was like I was because I was on time.
Yeah, because he does shenanigans so he can beat you here.
And probably
he sent you astray.
I mean, you know what? Look at my height. I'm only 5'2". Look at him. Oh. He can run and still beat me.
That is so untrue. That happened one time, and it wasn't on purpose. I sent him the same link. I sent it.
Let me see what this address says. You know, you might have.
Don't say the address.
You know,
you wouldn't want nobody to know where I'm at.
Send all of our gifts and proceeds to our PO box.
Yeah.
Right. I got you.
So how long have you been doing comedy?
This is my fifth year. I started around Kusi around 2021.
Yep. And did I meet you at the Funny Stop or was it Hatfields?
It might have been Hatfield's first, because the funny stuff, I think that was something that I learned later down the road.
Okay.
But I started at Chicoya's.
Okay.
Richmond, it was the African spot.
Yeah, we never
Janky Promoters was the one that was using that spot down there.
Okay.
And Rich Green was, I seen him post something on Facebook, and it was my wife and I anniversary.
Okay.
And I called Rich Green to purchase a couple of tickets for him to take my wife out for our anniversary.
Yeah.
And when he came to my house.
Shout out to Rich Green.
Yeah, shout out to Rich Green.
When he came to my house, I was saying something and he laughed and it was funny to him. And then he was saying something else as I was getting the purchase and he laughed. He said, "Oh man, that's funny." He asked me, "Have you ever did comedy before?"
Okay.
And I said, "No." He said, "Man, would you like to try?" I said, "Well, I give it a chance." He said, "Come to this spot this Tuesday."
Okay.
He said, "I'm going to get you on stage."
Nice.
And I remember I was kind of nervous. I did maybe like 3 minutes.
Okay, it's longer than him.
And I came back that next week, and from there it started taking off.
Nice, love it.
You got bit by that bug.
Yeah.
You know what? And
and that was in 2021.
Not to dive into
November.
Okay,
November 2021.
Okay. He wanted to know how old you were when you started.
That was 5 years ago, so I was 65.
Nice.
I'm 70 now, so I was 65 when I first started.
So you never thought about doing comedy before?
Nah, not until Rich Green came along,
Really?
That was my founder of doing comedy.
Wow, that's awesome. So, that's crazy.
So basically, what I've heard, like, and I've only experienced it on a smaller scale, like, you get addicted to, like, when they announce your name and after you, the laughs, when you get off, the applause you get. That's a rush of feeling. Would you agree? Do you get a feeling?
Well, you know what? At one point, it's like I serve my community, and when I get that laughter, that's my payment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me know that I'm like, and I learned as you go down this road, some places you're going to go, you ain't going to get no laughs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, you're going to have,
you're going to have
a hard crowd.
Mm. Yeah.
But if I get a smirk out of one person, I accomplish something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It ain't got to be the whole crowd. Right. If I can get a smirk out of one person, I know that I did something.
Yep. Yeah.
That I touched somebody.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? To me, it's like, and I agree with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like to see smiling faces, not necessarily laughing, but smiling faces dialed into what you're saying and waiting for you to say something, what you're going to say next.
Yeah.
You know, now that I actually look at people, I can see that.
I right. see that, but I prefer a laugh.
I prefer if it's a funny. Laugh, too.
I mean, I get it, because sometimes I don't laugh all the time. I get it. I understand, but it's just like, it's like, if you're smiling and enjoying yourself, just... But you know what? You don't want to force it either. You can't force it. So you got to make them laugh. You know what I mean? That's the thing.
What I was getting at was, for me, I can only speak for myself. I'm addicted to the laugh.
Oh, yeah.
I'm addicted to the cheers that I get when my name is called, and it's on a smaller scale. I can only imagine with the WWE or some of these people that sell arenas feel
right. When they come out here, a pop.
Yeah, like, they hear that pop. Yeah. Like when they hear their name, or when DMX used to growl and the crowd used to go crazy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Man, that's addictive. Like, you know, Lil Daddy about to come on stage and the place go crazy. You know what I'm saying? I would be addicted to that. You know what
right.
I mean? To that feeling, that sound and stuff like that. So you did 3 minutes your first time.
Yeah, 3 minutes.
And how did you do?
You know what? It was a lot of laughter in the background, and I was scared shitless. You know, because, I mean, I'm in front of a lot of people.
Right.
And that's different. You know, I'm used to saying, like, say, like, if I met y'all two on a block in front of a store.
Right.
I can talk shit like that all day long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the game changed when I was put on the stage.
Oh yeah.
And had to look out at people because yeah. I was shocked to try to, I guess, to do what I do in front of a crowd of people.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I guess they said they call that stage fright. But yeah. Then as time start going on, and now I'm the titty man.
which you said, the coochie man.
Yeah, but no, I was a titty man when I started at Jacoya's, and it would used to be this barmaid had these big old titties, and she would always walk by me because she knew that I was gonna say something. And as I'm landing into one of my jokes, and she walking around, she's serving beer, and I said, "There go them titties again, right there." You know what I'm saying? And the crowd just went laughing. So you know. That gave me my label as being Lil Daddy the Titty Man.
Lil Daddy the Titty Man. That's hilarious. And you know, it stuck? You ain't the coochie man?
No. Well, yeah, I mean, I still eat coochie, but titties came first.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You know what? If you can milk a titty, you can milk a coochie. Because the cream going to be the same color.
Facts.
That man, y'all got me talking this old crazy sexual stuff like that. But you know what? It's a good privilege to do comedy.
Right.
And y'all, for the onlookers out there, and Cool C and my man right here, you know, they grasped me, and I told them like my life story. So I'm gonna tell y'all if y'all look at me now, you know what? I'm 70 years old, but I smoked crack for 29 years.
Mm.
Yeah, I've been sober 7 years. This is my sobriety coin.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Hold on. That.
Yeah, that's big,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's big, man. 7 years.
Yeah.
So what happened was, and I made a joke about it. But when I smoked my first piece of crack, I met this young lady that I was trying to hit on.
Mm-hmm.
And I followed this young lady to this house. And when she let me go in this house, I took one hit and I was stuck for 29 years.
Wow.
29
That's
years.
A long time. Functioning?
Man, I don't know if I was functioning or dysfunctional.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I made it.
Okay.
I can count the days when I just smoked up the food stamps and wasn't no food in the house. And we was like that. What was that lady that had the food in the cupboard, Old Mother Hubbard?
Oh, yeah, Old Mother
Hubbard. Yeah. And
Mike.
Huh?
Try to talk in the mic.
And that's what happened with Old Mother Hubbard. We only had one can of peas that we had to share between the family. You know, my wife at that time, she had to go and borrow food from my mother and friends, you know, for us to eat.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to put that addiction on nobody.
Right.
Man, that addiction made me do some crazy things. I remember one time when I took a whole bottle of Tylenol because I wanted to kill myself.
Wow.
Right? And later on down the line, when I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous, to where I got myself together, and I told that story to somebody about me taking the whole bottle of pills. Mm-hmm. They said, "Motherfucker, you ain't want to die. You just wanted some attention."
Oh, shit.
Yeah, your blood was really thin.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it wasn't good for you.
Drugs ain't good for nobody.
Well, no, I'm talking about the Tylenol. You know,
man, I had a couple of sleepless nights.
Yeah, it comes
to where my stomach, man, listen. I would never want to do that again.
Of course. Facts. I mean, and I ain't trying to encourage people, but people who do that, you know, obviously, yeah, they... if you want to do it, you're going to do it. But I ain't got the balls to do it. So, you know, maybe that's a good thing. It slows the process. And you think about, you know, you don't really want to do it. You know what I'm saying? Good. Because you're still here. You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying? I made it. Yeah. To do the comedy thing, you know, for y'all out there, so I'll tell you, you know, if you ever get to Cleveland, come check us out one day at the show. I don't know why my man Cool, see, he had the spot, man. We was doing it on a monthly basis, man, and he brought a lot of talent to Cleveland.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, you did too, Justin. Yeah. You know, brought a lot of talent to Cleveland, and we got to meet a whole lot of people. I remember doing a couple of boys that came from Dayton.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the way down. They came all the way down from Dayton. That's a long ride.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Just to perform. You know, the comedy game is a good thing, but I don't think comedy is for everybody. Mm. You know,
to perform or to enjoy it? What do you mean?
Well, to perform.
Okay. No, definitely not.
No,
You know what? Because when I today it's a fad now. I hope I'm saying the right thing when I'm trying to coordinate it. Because like when I look on my Facebook page today, you got everybody. Just because the person got a mic in their hand, mean they funny. You know what I'm saying? I mean, to actually see a person, you know, you told one joke and that was it. What do you got behind that joke?
Right.
Like you take us for instance. When we get on stage, I'm not there to be there just for that one little set for 3 to 5 minutes.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I want to at least try to come up with at least 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And comedy is not easy.
It's not. Nah. It's not. And you're right. And to me, my thing is to, you know, if you're serious about it, even if you go out and you do a set and you have a bad set,
right?
That don't mean that the joke isn't funny. That just in my mind means that you need to watch your performance,
mm-hmm.
see where you went wrong,
right,
and see what you could do to craft it. Even before we went on, we talked about, you know, how we would come out with a joke and we changed it around.
Right.
Like you can reconstruct it. Like when you keep performing it, or you think about how you did it, or watch your performance.
Yep.
You be like, man, I could have said it this way, or I could have did it this way. Let me try it this way,
mm-hmm.
and it actually worked that way.
Yep. Right.
That's what people don't understand. It's not in the comedy game. Like they might say, oh man, Cool C doing the same jokes he did 5 years ago, but in reality, you saw the raw block, and then, you know, as the years progress, I've chipped away here and chipped away there and rearranged this and rearranged that, you know, and you're working on your with Justin always planning in my mind your hour special.
Yeah, well,
five minutes at a time.
What is it that people say? I mean, people are like, if they say something about you doing the same jokes, it's like, okay, yeah, you guys heard it, but the people over here hasn't heard it. You know what I mean? Like we still got a lot of places to travel, and we're building our materials. So when we go, we have an hour, not 5 minutes.
Right. And Little Daddy also said, "Come to Cleveland and check us out." But actually, when we come to your town, come check us out too.
Yeah.
He can travel and he will travel.
Now right. you know what?
Wait a minute, real quick. Where you been? You been a couple of places.
Oh yeah. Well, I
you just got 4th. Back from LA?
Yeah, I went to LA. I went to LA August 4th.
Did you do the Vegas trip?
No, I didn't do the Vegas trip, but okay. I did like Lorain, Ohio. I just came from there last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have been to Youngstown a couple of times.
Yeah, so he will travel.
Did some comedy with John Huff.
Right.
Shout out to John Huff.
And it's been a great traveling thing. I got a new guy, Dean, but I don't think I'm going to make it this month because I keep quitting these jobs. If I don't get fired, I'm quitting.
Dean down in Warren?
No, Dean, he's in he in St. Louis.
Okay.
Then, now, this is a guy that I met when I did that trip to L.A.
Okay.
So what happened with that trip was C.J. Starr.
Shout out to C.J. Starr.
She gave this little thing. It cost me $50 to get in on the show.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But out of 11 comics, I came in second place.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
And can you imagine how that made me feel?
Right.
Out of 11 people.
Right.
And I was the oldest person there and the shortest person there. But I won like I was 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
You know what? You know, like, as far as the age thing, and you know, those are things that probably only you recognize or point out or think about.
Well, you know what? If the audience can see me now and they hear my voice and they say, ain't no way in the world that man no 70 years old.
Right.
I mean, you don't look 70, but, you know, ain't nobody else really thinking about that for real, man.
Well, you never know what a person thinks.
You're right, but I'm just saying.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just glad you did it at your age because I was reluctant to even try and start because, you know, it's like, man, do I even want to get into this? It takes 10 years.
10 years
for you to be, and this and that. Well, if you don't start, you won't get to 10 years. So you might as well just start. You know what I mean?
Let's say like this here. Let's go back to 1988 when I took that first hit of crack cocaine. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't consider myself a star.
Right.
You know, after a while, it became a fun thing. Then 2 months later, now I got to have it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I made myself a star in the neighborhood. Motown the crackhead. I didn't want to be that type of star. That's a hell of a label.
That's a hell of a label.
To have on yourself. Right. So now I call myself Lil Daddy to get away from the name Motown.
Right.
That was like a scar.
Okay.
To me.
Right, right.
I want to be known now as Lil Daddy now when they hit the stage. Like when I go to places now and people see me, man, you going on tonight?
Right.
I say, well, you know what? It all depends on what they're doing here. You know, this ain't my spot.
Right.
A label is a hell of a thing to have on you, especially being labeled as a crackhead.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the term crackhead because I was just a smoker.
Right, right.
You know, I had a job. I didn't hang on the corners or nothing like that. But I still smoked.
Mm-hmm.
I was still stuck.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That this was a part of my everyday life. Everything I did, every dime that I made, I gave to the dope man. You know what I'm saying?
So you still held a job and everything.
Yeah.
Right, right, right. Yeah. I was a functional smoker.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell you. It's hard to tell a person that, like maybe somebody that love you, it might be trying to tell you, like, look, you got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to tell you you got a problem, especially if you got more than what they have.
Well, you know what? It was a problem. It was a problem that I couldn't stop. When you got to lie to somebody about yourself.
Right.
Like, take me for instance. I got robbed many times. But I was the robber. I robbed myself of a youthful lifetime.
Right.
I took stuff from my family that I didn't want to witness to. Did that make me less than a man? In some people's eyes, it probably would have. But I was addicted to something that had control of me. And I was a slave.
Right.
I was a slave to alcohol and I was a slave to drugs. Whatever it told me to do, that's what I did.
Yeah.
So now I'm doing comedy today and I don't know. You remember when I did my one joke about HBO? I never been on HBO and I never been to the Improv, but I've been on crack and I've been to rehab.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the stuff I personally love.
And
that joke, let's finish out for the audience. And that joke, I said, man, you know, I was so high. I said, well, how you do that joke? I said, from 1988 to 2017, I went from freebase smoking to crack smoking. Man, I was so high, birds used to have me for directions. you know, I was so high that I called the police on myself one time, and the police actually arrested me. And I had to go to court the next day. And when I went to court, the judge asked me, he said, how do you plead? I said, not guilty. He said, can you explain the 27 cigarette lighters? I said, Your Honor, I was afraid of the dark. but you know, y'all, I used to be 6'3", but I smoked myself down to 5'2". But now I've been sober for 7 years.
Yeah.
Nice.
And, you know, I had to go through this program. They said, if you want to stay sober, you got to change your people, places, and things. And the first thing you want to do is get rid of your drug dealer's phone number. Man, I ain't talked to my daughter since.
He's stupid.
No, me and my daughter still ain't talking today.
Damn. Oh, man.
You know, but she'll call me if she needs something, and I answer her call because that's my daughter.
Right.
But we don't interact too much because she'll call me when she needs something.
Okay.
And that's a hurting thing. I don't know if I should blame it on my addiction with my smoking. You know, I got 4 daughters.
Okay.
And me and my oldest daughter talk. My oldest daughter's 51.
Okay.
My age.
Yeah.
But see, my wife ain't number 47.
Play. Look at my age.
I ain't no player. You know what? My wife came and told me one day, she said, don't you think it's time for us to get married? We've been long enough. I said, pick a date. And we've been married for 11 years now.
Nice. All right, congratulations.
Yeah.
11 years. Yeah.
So that's why I come in and say, I'm Lil Daddy. I'm 5 feet tall. I ain't going to come up short twice.
Hey, man. So definitely, you know, that was an experience. And we were talking earlier. And you said, like, you know, what a lot of people should do in this dating game or in period, they always look for reasons why they didn't do this or do that. Or, you know, like, if you are single, like I am, I'm single, and my goal is to be married one day, but I'm single, but I dated many people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in reality, and I know that I am the common denominator. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you know, it's your fault. You're the problem.
Obviously.
You're particular. You're particular.
To a degree, I am the problem. But
yeah, you're particular. That's what it is.
But it's just like I can't blame nobody but myself for things like, you know, the situations, and like we was talking earlier.
Right.
You said, you know, a lot of people be like, and I hear this too, you know, women say, well, God's going to send him to me and this, that, and another. I'm like, you know, and back when I was younger, I used to say it like, yeah, God didn't have nothing to do with this.
I promise you.
God had nothing to do with you and I talking or interacting at this time. Don't put God in this.
Like, I mean, you listen to me because you know
what I'm saying. The devil's on my shoulder, what I'm about to do.
But you know what? In all actuality, let's split our body up in three pieces. Say, like, this top piece up here, we're going to say that's God. And the middle part, we'll say that's Jesus.
Mm.
And the below part, we'll say that's the devil.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So you got three categories. And how you operate on certain things. Like I said, now, I smoked crack for 29 years. Should I blame God or the devil? Or should I look in the mirror and take that upon myself because I made bad choices?
Right.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm to blame.
Yeah.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying this here for people that's out there that's listening.
And watching.
Because when you got a problem, the first thing you want to do, you want to run and hide and put a cover on yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're ashamed. I was ashamed. I smoked crack for 29 years. Then 2005, I got sober. I got sober for 2 years. On that second year, 2007, I'm leaving the AA meeting. And my addiction kicked in. I ain't gonna say my addiction for crack, but I used to be pleasured by this young lady that I seen walking up down the street.
Okay.
And I'ma keep it respectful. So by me wanting to get my pleasure, she gets in the car and she tell me that she needs the money right then and there. And when I give her the money, and the same thing like it told me in that book, she lit that thing up right then. I ain't had no defense. I said, let me hit that. I was back out there for another 15 years.
Wow.
You know, I had an aneurysm in 2007.
Wow.
Behind smoking crack. They tell you that in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, that if you don't follow the 12 steps, that stuff like that would happen. I didn't have no defense.
Mm.
So for number one, I put myself in a zone that I shouldn't have been in.
Right.
So once again, should I blame God or the devil, or should I blame me?
Right.
Yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, and I say that not to discourage people not to believe in God or not to believe in the devil. But something that happened in your life, why you want to blame a certain individual but yourself?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's a scapegoat.
You know, so you didn't say, take the blame. Man up and woman up and take the blame.
Yep.
And quit trying to blame someone on the devil or blame something on God.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yep. That just like sometime when some goodness happened in your life, the first thing they say, oh, God did it. No, you did it. You made the right decision.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like now, I make good decisions, and I still do bad things.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a human being.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I love comedy.
Right.
You know, I love to make people laugh, and I hope people we hear this and laugh behind this here, because I told you my story. It was a struggle. It wasn't funny then, but it's funny as hell now when I look back on it.
Well, you can make it funny.
Because
it's your, you know, your. I don't want to say trauma. Yeah, because you went through it. You definitely went through it, so you could talk about it, and you can shed light on something that can give other people, you know, hope. Or whatever the case, you know, it's going through some stuff.
And I want to say this for everybody, like this dude is talking about sobriety as he take a swig. That is a blankety blank zero.
Yeah, it's a non-alcoholic.
Yeah, if y'all gonna see this, this is a Heineken double zero.
We don't want to give them props, but we just want to let you guys know it's not like, you know.
And I drink this here because I like the beer taste.
Yeah.
I don't like the beer high. I just like the taste.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm drinking some, and he's cool. He's in those environments. How do you feel like being in those environments?
I ain't gonna talk about y'all drinking. I don't think that you're an alcoholic. I just think you drink a lot. That's just
he don't drink a lot.
I don't drink a lot.
He smoke a lot.
But I'm saying because I'm looking at that glass. He ain't touched it.
I filled up a little bit.
But it looked like his glass looked like it been filled up and there ain't even no barmaid in it.
You know what? It's funny he said
I
use
the force.
We need a roller girl.
Need a roller girl.
We looking for a roller girl.
We do need a roller girl.
Wear a nice little outfit and skate around here and refill our drinks and our water. And for me, a tissue. You know how to get in contact with us.
What's the tissue for?
My nose.
Okay, yeah. Get the tampon.
Get
the tampon and put it in the nose, right? That'll stop it from dripping.
It'll soak it.
Soak it right up.
No.
You don't want to do that?
No.
But that was the joke. I think that was a good joke.
How about no? No, but, initially we do try to look for the blame game.
Mm-hmm.
Of why things are the way they are, or why did you do this? But you know, like I said, the common denominator is me. I'm aware of that. You know, and little daddy said that. You know, his decision making was on him. He made bad choices.
Bad choices.
I say all the time, Lord, I did some dumb shit. I tell him, whoever.
He already knew that.
I know. But it's like, you know, you fess up to yourself. You know, you look in the mirror.
You just don't blame yourself for things, and you control things.
Yeah.
I've been in the audience when Lil Daddy said, "Anybody else smoke crack?" And he looking around.
Did anybody want to fess up?
But I know it's somebody out there.
Right.
That was smoking crack.
Right,
I know they were.
Right.
Yeah. But they don't confess up. But you kept it all the way gangster.
But when I said from 1980 to 2017, I went from free base smoking to crack smoking. I said, "Where my ex crackhead at?"
Nobody said nothing.
I said, "I know y'all out there. Don't be ashamed. You know what I'm saying? Because it was something that we went through,
and you overcame it.
And if I can overcome it, you can overcome.
You know what's wild? When I was in college, we had to read this thing. It was this lady. She did heroin for 90 years. She was 90 years old, and she did heroin like every day. Not obviously from I don't know what age, but for I mean at least 70 years, I think, because she was at least 90.
Wow.
And it was like a morality thing. I mean, she held a job, she did everything, but she just did. That was her drug of choice. You know what I mean? It was basically one of those things where as long as I think there's, when it becomes a problem, obviously it was a problem. You know what I mean? When things become a problem, then there's an issue. But like, there's a lot of people that just, they go through life and they, you know, they have a couple drinks here and there. You know what I mean? And it's like, but once they become Frank the Tank, it's a problem. You know what I mean? You start running around naked and start doing some wild shit. So it's like, that's a crazy transition. And that takes a lot. You're doing good.
I mean,
I'm glad you found comedy.
You know what made me, something just came to my head as we were sitting here talking. And I think Biz Markie should get page for. Remember when he came out with the song The Vapors?
Yeah,
he called it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And what is everybody doing now if they ain't smoking?
Vaping.
Huh?
Yep.
They stole that from him. I think that should be some recognition for Biz Markie.
Give it to his
because he was the vapor man.
Yeah, he was.
You know what I'm saying? Not everybody vaping.
Everybody.
That was just like Neil Armstrong. When he went to the moon.
Did he?
He came back. Listen, yeah. I said the same thing too, but don't fuck my joke up.
Okay, go ahead.
But remember, he went to the moon, and 30 years later, now everybody's smoking rocks. Because that's what he came back with, didn't he? I know a motherfucker that's doing time in the penitentiary for a bag of rocks. This motherfucker come back with a whole bag and they ain't saying shit.
They applaud him.
Yeah, they applaud him for coming back with a bag of rocks. Everybody smoking rocks.
And secrets.
Hey, look, they're gonna come after us after I'm saying this. They're gonna say, damn, he knew our stuff, huh? You know, but the tactics, but you know what? So, like I was telling y'all earlier today, I said, when I went to see my doctor, and today I'm drug free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I went to see my doctor. When I showed you my phone, my doctor trying to put me on some blood pressure medication because, you know, they say my blood pressure high. And she said, your blood pressure is 163 over such and such and such. And I showed her my phone. I said, well, this is what it was this morning. It was 133 over 82. You know, but to let them know that I'm keeping up on my game because I refuse to take another drug.
Right.
Now, thus far, I done went through ups and downs in my life. I just quit a job.
Mm-hmm.
I got fired from a job. Sometimes my relationship is downhill. I done had poor relationships on friendship. But nothing thus far made me want to take a drink or a drug.
Good, good.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm grateful to acknowledge to myself. Now, I'm not discrediting God or the devil once again. I'm just crediting me for the thing that's going on in my life because
right.
Here go another time to where I'm not letting certain things happen in my life.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Because yep. I know it's a destroyer.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And for people out there, you know what? If you want to quit, you can quit. It's all about making a decision.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a hard decision.
Yeah, but you know, but it's the right decision.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
You know, when
definitely.
When I was smoking crack, I didn't want to live. Mm. I took a whole bottle of Tylenol. And got sick, but I remember going to AA and I told that story to somebody. They say you weren't trying to kill yourself, you just wanted some damn attention.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what it was. I wanted attention, like a little kid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I'm still here. I'm here to talk about it.
Hey, you made it. Yeah. You made it through, and I'm glad you did because we met. You know what I'm saying? Like comedy brought a lot of people into my life that I probably wouldn't have seen otherwise. You know what I mean? And it's obviously done something for you. You know what I mean? It gave you something to look forward to.
I'm still out here. This is 2025. If we made it to 2025, we're going to go into 2026.
That's my year, dog.
And the world ain't died yet.
2-6.
You know, 2025. Do y'all think the world gonna come to an end?
No,
but there's stupid people in charge. We can't get in death because we'll get flagged, but you know.
But I know I'm the only one that's being questioned here, but I just want to ask, what makes you think that the world will not come to an end?
I mean,
use your brain now, you got one.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, I'll say you're mad. Because if I say you're mad, you'll come up with the answer.
Well, I mean, it's a 50-50, will it or won't it? Yeah. I mean, but on the path it is, it's not. You know what I mean? It's stupid, but it's not ending.
Well, basically, you know, to that question, if I was to, you know, if something was to happen to me, then the world would end.
Your world.
That's the answer that I was looking for.
Yeah,
Because they say the world was coming to an end when Prince made their song in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then it was 20 something that happened, and people saying the world was coming to an end, that your bank account was going to be robbed.
The year 2000.
Yeah. Y2K, right. Right after 1999.
And then 2012 was the next one because the Mayan calendar.
So, but did y'all know that in 1972? That Earth, Wind, and Fire made an album called The Last Days in Time. Mm.
That was BC.
That wasn't before the common era.
It was before Curry.
I like that. Yeah, that was BC. I like that one.
Before Curry.
But and it's a song on there. It's called "Where Have All the Flowers Gone."
Where have all the flowers gone?
And they say, "Where have all the flowers gone to the graveyard, everyone?" Mm. But at the end of the song, it states that we're in the last days in time. Now, this was in 1972. That's why I'm glad you iterated on what you're saying. See, once I leave here, that's my end of time. This planet has been here for a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For a long time. And it will continue to be here, mm-hmm. even when we're gone.
Yep.
Yeah.
This whole stuff about, okay, other planets out here, but, you know, they make movies and stuff to show that how they done blow the earth up, now everybody living over here. I don't believe in fairy tales like that. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I know one thing. Once my time is up in this body and I'm gone, that's the end of my world.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I also know we're hurling through space at a lot of speed. And there's things out there like comets and things, asteroids that are huge that can fuck us up any moment. So that can end too.
Or if all the space junk just decided to fall back on the planet.
Yeah, space junk.
Space junk.
So you know what's happening? We're all in a scare state program. Mm.
All of us in a scare state.
Oh, everybody, program. Everybody. You know what? I've been on this planet long enough to learn this here. I don't care what you go through or what you say. Somebody out there got an answer.
Mm-hmm. AI does now.
AI is still bullshit because without us, AI wouldn't exist.
Oh, I know.
Absolutely.
I know. And that's what we say with like Google, because everybody, you know, they use Google to search for everything, but they're only feeding you the results they want to feed you.
But you know what? I got some books at home.
Internet was created by man, so whoever's...
I got some books at home now that's probably not even on the market anymore.
Oh,
that they got rid of. When I bought that one book, the Book of Enoch, and I still haven't read it, but I bought it, I said, before they get rid of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because
how long ago did you buy it?
About 3 years ago.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, it's all about aliens.
Yeah, but
Coming down and having sex.
Giants, aliens.
Mm. So they are called the Anunnakis. You ever heard
mm-hmm.
of them?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was.
Tell the audience about it. It may not be familiar with the Anunnaki.
The Anunnakis, they were giants. They were the ones that built the pyramids. You know how from the knowledge that I'm getting. But you know how people look back on the pyramid and well, what did they use to get them big old rocks mm-hmm. up there like that? They had the Anunnakis. They were giants. This is why when you look in this book. What is it called? It's on my mind, but the words won't come out of my mouth. It's called the Book of the Dead. Mm. The Egyptian Bible. The Book of the Dead. And when you see Thoth and all them in there, you know they had the bird-like head. But they were actually human beings that looked like that. You know what? We're all animals created in our own way. Right now, a lot of people don't know it's 5 different blood types. I'm O positive.
I don't know mine.
Well, you need to know yours is important.
I'm A positive.
Because the reason I say it's important during the time of when they came out, a lot of people died behind that shot. But they didn't tell you which bloodline that the shot affected the most. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't taking the shot. I told him, I said, if you want to fuck me up, send my ex-wife back. I wouldn't. You can fuck me up like that. I ain't going to take no damn shot.
You stupid.
I'm serious. But see, this is some serious talk. You know, this is something to keep the podcast going because.
Or not.
Yeah, well.
You might have just shut it down.
No, I don't think I shut it down. Because other people going to want to know. Why would somebody want to shut us down? Because we got information. We ain't lying to the people. Right. We just sharing our opinion.
Yeah.
We opinionated people like everybody else.
Yeah. But certain, you know, when we send the episode through, AI is combing.
Okay.
And certain words will shut it down.
Oh, okay.
Slags it. Yeah, it's wild. That's the censorship.
Yeah.
That's the censorship part of this whole game. This world is wild, and that's how they
you call it the poke.
I heard that. Yeah. Well, AI, you shouldn't get offended because I'm doing the job that you're not doing.
Yeah, right.
So don't knock me off.
They're just trying to survive.
This is your chance to shine. Off of
No, you are, and I appreciate that. But I didn't give you the talk before.
Oh, okay. Stupid.
So I'm blaming myself.
But you ain't did nothing wrong.
Yeah, but I normally give the talk. We don't talk about the orange dude. We don't talk.
Okay, I ain't talking about him.
We don't talk about the poke.
The vid.
Well, you know what? I don't think I said nothing that incriminated nobody. I just talked about.
It's just the word.
Yeah. I mean, so what do it mean? What does it mean?
It means that.
No, for real.
It means they're gonna flag us. Hopefully not.
But we'll don't flag us.
Yeah.
If I tell you what the word means, we stay alive? Can we stay alive? Because it's the truth, and it happened. When the name came up, the name presented itself and did exactly what it was supposed to do.
Oh, yeah.
Strike fear.
Stands for Certificate of Vaccination ID. COVID. So when it first came out, the first 6 months, you had to get a certificate to show that you was vaccinated to go anywhere. Certificate of Vaccination ID. And if you didn't have it, then you couldn't even go into a club.
You couldn't perform. You couldn't.
You couldn't do nothing.
You know what's crazy? Like, it didn't affect me at all.
But hold on. So AI, you can't get mad because I'm following what's going on. Just about 3 years ago, they announced it on TV for anybody that had that ID card, you no longer need it.
Oh yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And you had to buy them cards when you got them.
Yeah, they don't care about the facts.
They just use you to get a few extra dollars.
Yep. Oh yeah, yeah.
Nah. And they're still trying to say around.
And McDonald's still gives us cold fries.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And then so does she wear a dress? Because that's the only way. That's the way you can always kill a man. It was something that's in the dress.
Mm.
Not that guy we seen in the blue dress.
Yeah, that's
that's not that one.
Because that dress was a mess with a P E N I S.
That's a surprise.
But you know what?
That's a moving
on. But I'm just saying, you know what? I'm glad to be on the podcast, and because y'all, I got a chance to talk freely about what happened like in my life and the things that's still going on now. At the age of 70.
Your life ain't over.
Yeah,
you still got more to do.
It's just beginning.
You know, I take Cool C and you both, you know, I take y'all advice on things because I'm trying to make my comedy better.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I know I'm a funny guy.
Oh, yeah.
I've been to the Cleveland Funny Bone twice doing my comedy. So I know I got some fans out there.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
We ain't talking about distilling fans. I'm talking about real fans.
Keeping us cool.
No, man. I mean, to be honest with you, and I can't, you know, I hate keep, you know, bringing this up. We got some professionals that have said that we through with Cleveland. We ain't coming back. They committing comedy, you know, unaliving in Cleveland. Professionals that's been on TV. But you, along with Justin Fuller and me, this is the audience that we rock out in front of all the time. We perform.
Exactly. The
Cleveland audience.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, and you're in intimate spaces.
You know, all the time.
You at the intimate, you know, like, in my opinion, I could be wrong. I've seen you do well at clubs, but I also seen you do really well in, like, close spaces, like the show that I was putting on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, where people are right there.
Yeah.
I see. That's where I think you... You know, you shine the best when people like right in your face.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've seen it, you know. So it's like, that's your type of party, and that's where most comics, and you know, even the guy that complained about Cleveland is afraid of the crowds that you actually turned out.
when I did that one thing on the Funny Bone, I forget dude's name who I opened for, but anyway, I think it was, I can't think of his Powell. Name. But he was a funny guy too. And anyway, not Kenny Howell. This was recently.
Recently.
Not the Funny Bone. So, cause I got this one joke that I used as my closing joke.
Mm-hmm.
To anywhere the crowd loved it. So the joke goes as I say, you know what? Every black guy need to have a white friend. And I said, I'm going to tell you why, because I got a white friend and I always talk to him about religion. And so one day he said, well, you know what, you need to come to my church. So I got all suited and booted and put my suit on and everything, and I went to his church. And I'm standing there, got my suit on, and the father comes out. And I extend my hand to the father, and the father walks right by me. He goes to my white friend over there. My white friend got his buddies over there. Now, they're making all kind of noise. He eating popcorn. He's dropping popcorn all down on the floor and everything. And the father goes over to him and does like this here, and the father walks off. And I go to my white friend. I say, how did you get the father to bless you? I said, he come right by me. I said, I'm all suited and clean and everything. He said, look at you. You making noise over there, dropping popcorn all over the floor. He said, man, he ain't bless me. He said, you pick up that popcorn and get these two motherfuckers out of here. and somebody posted that. It got over maybe 1.2K views.
Okay.
And they loved that little part of my joke that I did. And it had the people laughing from the time that I got on stage to the time that I got off.
All right.
Nice.
You know. So they gave me 5 minutes, and I gave the audience 5 minutes of fun.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do when you're on stage.
You
open up everywhere.
So for somebody to come from another city and try to talk about Cleveland. Cleveland is the spot. If an individual can make it here in Cleveland, you can make it anywhere.
Facts.
And that's a known fact all around the globe.
That's with comedy, that's with music, that's with anything.
Anything.
Yeah, if this was one of the places that...
It's hard of me to agree to this, but I have to agree to it, kind of.
He's not from here, man. He's from somewhere else, man.
I ain't from here either. You know where I'm from?
He's Motown.
You know where I'm from?
I thought you're from Detroit.
I'm from my mama.
Was your mom from here?
My mom was from her mom.
Right on.
So if you add that question again, you're just going to be stuck because it's going to keep on.
Down the line.
It's a domino effect.
Uh-huh.
So the rest of this year, I haven't had any shows booked lately. Well, I'm hosting the show next week on...
with Fred, right?
13th year with Fred.
Where's the site again?
So it's going to be at Milch Bar and Grill on 300 in Wycliffe.
Okay.
Yeah. So he asked me to host the show. Matter of fact, you know, Fred, that's my side.
Shout out to Fred.
You know, me and Fred used to sell movies together back in the day.
Okay.
That's we made a lot of money. Fred still buy movies from me today.
Really?
Yeah. You know, that's my role, dog. Fred, he came a long way doing his thing. So he another person that keep me grounded with the comedy game.
How long you known Fred?
I've been knowing Fred since around, I was doing movies since around 2005.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. 20 years, you know, Fred. Yeah. That's dope.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I talk to Fred often, and we grew up in the same area but didn't know each other.
In Buckeye?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's the one that I didn't know you down in the Buckeye area, because I stayed on 117th and Buckeye in that apartment right across from where Wendy's is.
Oh, yeah.
Over there next to that long house, that white house over there.
That's where you at.
Huh? I used to stay in that apartment building right there, and that's when I first got sober.
Oh, really?
2005.
2005, I wasn't there. I was there in the 90s.
And then they broke in my apartment. And
what'd they take?
They took all my movies.
Damn.
They took my burner. And I made enough money. I said, you know what? I moved the next day.
Nice.
Because I had enough money back then. I was saving money. I'd be blowing money and not going to this casino. I need to stop going there.
Like me, I do parlays. I just stay here and do it.
It'd be the little sad shit. It's just like, you know what? It's just like smoking crack. I'm just doing the shape.
So you doing the craps?
I play the little games, little slots.
Okay. Are you good with sports? I say parlays.
No, I just do the slots.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, I do that or roulette.
Yeah, so I lost a lot of money.
Yeah, because that's what it does. Gambling.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They take your money there.
Robbing myself again.
It's a different addiction.
Yeah.
It's a different addiction.
One addiction for that other.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at least you know it.
Well, it's just like sex. Sex is an addiction.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. 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 I'm thinking about it right now. Okay.
Yeah, my old lady keep me grounded. She keep me doing pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You need support. You know what I mean? That's big. You know.
So back to what we were talking about, like with comedy. You know what? Comedy is a good game. You know, everybody all around the world now. You know what? It's followers. Everybody want to be a comedian, but everybody ain't funny. Just because I've seen more people that look funny than that talk funny.
Yeah.
You know Yeah. But sometimes that's a cheat code. Because if you look funny, people laugh just because some people can go up there and just look a certain way and talk and it's funny.
Right.
Anything they say can be funny. You know what I mean? And it's almost a cheat code, but they have to also be funny. You know, it's tough. It's hard, man. Like we said, man, you know, you see people smile, but if you were hitting it, boy, they'd be laughing. And I know not everybody does, you know what I mean? And I know we're all trying to get to that point where everyone's just dying, you know what I mean? But it's tough.
I'm trying to clean my comedy. I got to come with some clean comedy, you know what I mean?
That's tough, too.
Can little daddy do some clean comedy?
It's so hard.
It's hard.
It's so hard.
It's hard.
I mean, I cannot cuss. It's just the subject material is even tough for me. It's hard for me to talk about dogs all the time without dogs fucking. You know what I mean? I can talk about dogs, but then it starts to get to red rockets and shit and silly shit.
Look, I'm going to share something that happened. He was at the funny stop, you know. This, I think when Pete was still alive.
You know, R.I.P. Pete.
R.I.P. Pete. They wanted Pete. 5 minutes clean. Little Daddy came up there and rocked it, right? He didn't advance. He was upset about it. He didn't understand why. I told him, I said, hey man, they wanted 5 minutes clean. That's probably why you didn't advance. And I was like, you was like, dick this, dick that. That's not clean. Little Daddy was like, I ain't say dick. I said pussy. He said, bruh. They wanted 5 minutes clean. That's probably why you
remember. I remember that shit.
You don't remember that one?
That's hilarious.
All right, well, do it sound like some shit you would say?
No, because you know what?
But you did.
I did some clean material up there at the piece. I think I still got it in my phone.
And but you was upset because you was like, man, I was funny and that person that funny. And I was like, yeah. We had a conversation. I said, yeah, you did well. You did. But it was a 5 minutes clean. They wanted it clean.
But I know I did some clean material at the funny stop.
You was like, I didn't say dick. I said pussy.
So somebody else didn't make it either then, huh? Because that was the one that said dick.
No, I probably misquoted you, man. But it was the same concept. Like, you know, if the contest or the establishment is asking for clean comedy. No matter how much the crowd loved you, you're not following under that guideline.
Right.
Yeah.
Or if he was real funny and you did follow the guideline and you ran
the
over
light.
Your time.
Yeah, that too.
That's frowned upon as well. Now, that was totally un-Little Daddy related.
He's
a professional.
Yeah, no, he's on point.
He's on point. But I'm just saying in general, like if you run over time, that's frowned upon too.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So. That's the etiquette.
Yeah,
we have to kind of apply.
Because I did a show somewhere, and I did my time too, and because somebody said, well, no, you know, you want to be straight in their time because you don't want them to flag you, you know, for call yourself trying to steal a few minutes or whatever.
Yeah. Nope, you got to be professional, being on time. And here go another thing that, you know, that I always admired about Lil Daddy is, like, even when he did the show for me, he didn't care about going first.
No, yeah. A lot of people
were like, I don't want to go first. Oh, you go first. He didn't care about going first, and he will go first.
Right.
And in my mind, going first, I like to go first, too.
Yeah.
And if you going first, and if after the show, people still coming up to you saying that they liked your set, that means that you put a nice impression on them.
Yeah, yeah.
They remembered you all the way from
the seven other people that then went down.
Right. Yeah, so that's a thing that, you know, I challenge myself to be memorable.
And I think when I did that thing with CJ Starr.
Bless you.
When I did that thing with CJ Starr. And I think I might have been number two.
Okay.
So that means anybody that came behind me, if they didn't keep up, they didn't make it. For real. And when she handed me the mic, she said, "Do your thing."
Do your thing.
I did the Lowdown and Dirty. You know who I told him I was? Mm-hmm. Filthy McNasty, the Dirty Lowdown. Yeah. Now, who comes up with some shit like that? Filthy McNasty, the Dirty Lowdown.
Mm-hmm. Little Daddy does.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
And she put me on that stage second. And like you saying, for that to leave a dent in somebody's brain to listen to
all the other comics, yeah.
Because it was the 11 comics.
Yeah.
Out of the 11 comics, I came in second place.
Nice.
Impressive.
Yeah.
11 comics.
Yeah.
Number two. And you went first?
I think second.
You went second. That means he left an impression on 11 comics.
Yep.
That's some pretty impressive.
I'm not a fan of going first. I hate it.
But you know what? It's comedy. Somebody got to do it. So you know what?
I do it and I succeed. In my mind, I hate it. You know what I mean? It's just, I can get through it, not do it, but it's just, you know, the crowd's not, you know, they're just getting there. They're, you know, but that's a good spot for, like I said, you. Cordell's great at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He has a great set.
But you know what? That makes you a great comedian to where you should be able to fall in anywhere it is on stage.
Oh, facts.
If viewer don't want to go first, that means you don't have confidence in yourself.
I just don't like it.
But I'm just saying, because if you go with a short fuse, you'll end up being a dud, you just won't bomb.
Mm-hmm.
You want to slow, you know what I'm saying?
No, because I like, because what
I know what made me say it in that fashion. But you know what? Because I went somewhere, Geneva, I think it was. I went down there and did the show. And this broad, this Chinese looking broad, I forget her name. It comes to me. But she bombed from the time she got on stage to the time she got off.
Maybe she didn't remember her name. No, I'm kidding.
I'm trying to think of her name. But she's a Chinese girl. And I did a show with her not too long ago on Pit Stop, the Palmer Pit Stop.
Okay.
We met her there.
Oh, we did?
You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly who you are. What I'm talking about.
I can't recall her name. And it's coming to me. But anyway, she bombed. Everywhere she goes, she's explosive.
She got a short haircut. Shorter.
Yeah,
yeah, I know exactly. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And she wears glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
I know exactly
what
you're talking about.
Yeah, that sucks.
I don't know her name, but
she's working on it.
Shout out
to
her. She's a new comedian.
Yeah.
And keep doing your thing.
Yeah.
She
little Asian woman.
She keep coming back.
Yeah.
She keep coming back.
She gonna be a beast.
One day she is. Yeah.
You gotta go through all the pitfalls to reach the top. You know what I'm saying? It's all good.
And you know, cause it's been some times that I done did some shows and I feel like I done bombed. But I done had people coming to me, man, you were funny. And I'm asking myself, where? you know, sometimes, you know, when you go to the open mics, mm-hmm. and it just feel like you're trying to do your good stuff.
Right.
Because you ain't getting the laughter that you're looking for.
Right. Or sometimes you can't hear it.
Yeah, so that let me know that you ain't bomb. You know, it just that in your mind, you know, it what you did was acceptable to you.
In open mics, is that really in the gauge? I mean, you can, unless it's at like a club or somewhere with an actual crowd, open mics, if you ain't getting laughs, it is what it is. Usually it's mostly comics. You know what I mean? So sometimes they're even thinking about, that's like I was telling, you know, that's why I was like, as far as going first, it's like, I've been doing like what he like always did, you know, because usually I come prepared with what I'm going to do.
Right.
This is the 5 minutes, this is the 10 minutes, but now since I have a good chunk, so anytime I show up, I like to see the crowd and how they're reacting and say, okay, well, I can do this then. I can, you know, go through the Rolodex. I like to feel out what it is, because then you can figure out what you want to do and talk about and make it a better show.
Right.
Instead of going, you know, like, I'm going to do this, and you come out here with porn material that you want to work on, and the crowd ain't feeling it. That ain't what they want to hear. And then you come out first and fuck everything up. You know what I mean?
You so got to learn, like, how to read the room.
Yeah, well, that too. I try to do that just by looking, and then go from there. So I'm just saying.
You know how I read the room one day, and I tricked them. I came out on stage. I said, who in here never had sex? Raise your hand.
Ain't never had.
Did nobody raise their hand? I said, goddamn, I can hit them. Huh? Because everybody has sex. That's right. I'm little daddy. I'm the titty man. I know some big ass titty with a wet ass coochie. You dig what I'm saying? Because I done already put the frame out there, and I said, if you ain't never had sex, raise your hand.
That's a hell of a way to fucking hit the fucking stage.
So
baby.
Did I read the room or not?
Yeah, yeah.
Read the room. You put a tester out there. Yeah.
But that goes to show you that how my thinking is. I ain't gonna say my thinking fucked up. I just think different.
No, you do what you got to do. You got to gauge the room for the little daddy material.
I read the room.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
So like, let's put it out here. Like, have you did any acting yet?
Not yet.
Are you opposed to doing any?
No, I think I'm an actor the way I live every day. I acting, but it's different than going on stage. But ain't nobody asked me yet, so. I'm prepared.
So he's open to doing acting, everybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you need, you know, a little daddy in your movie or your skit, hit him up. He's open for it.
Yep.
He's not opposed to it.
It's something new. So, and you know what? I gave myself a chance to comedy.
Yeah.
So why not give myself a chance to acting? I mean, never know where it might.
Most time, all you have to do is be yourself and just act, say certain things and act like the camera's not there.
Right.
Okay.
You know what
okay.
I mean? It's you know, try and be in the character and just talk. That's what it is, you know. You do that on stage. You know what I mean? You're in your character, so you're good.
Yeah, so
you'd be perfect for it.
Anything that you want the world to know about you, any upcoming shows or?
Well, I'm hosting a show next Thursday on the 13th at Mills Bar and Grill in Woodcliff.
So if you're in the Cleveland, Ohio area or the Wycliffe area, you don't want to miss it because they put on great shows there.
Yeah, shout out to Fred.
Shout out to Fred. And he's hosting.
Right.
It's a win-win.
It's going to be a good time.
It's a good show.
And, you know, anything that somebody can do to enhance my comedy, you know, I'm working and trying to do clean comedy. You know, people say, why you do dirty comedy? I say, because I live in a dirty world.
Yeah.
I came around dirty stuff all the time, you know.
You know what the best way to do that, though, is to make it all clean, but find a way. If you can find a way to make that clean, I know that the subject material is rough, but if you can go down it without cursing, you know what I mean? For the most, gold.
Yeah.
Gold. I mean, it's already gold, because you can add all the flavor
right.
wherever else out, you know what I mean? But if you can craft it for a specific clean,
change certain items.
And, yeah.
Instead of using, well, you know, I use coochie. To me, I don't think coochie is a.
But it is.
Yeah, well,
you like me.
Says the guy that said, I didn't say dick, I said pussy.
No, you're like me, because I'm the same way, because I'm like ass and bitch, that ain't bad.
Yeah, well, but maybe, it is. Maybe.
For clean.
Maybe I need to just change and say, you know, I just love banana splits.
There you go.
You know what banana saying? Splits, you know, that's fine. Yeah, it might work.
And what make my banana splits so spectacular, because I got a banana in the middle of it.
I got a banana.
You know what I'm saying? And they happen to be my banana. You know what I'm saying? So just be careful how you cut it back.
Hey. With that being said, where can they find you, Jay?
Everybody, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the_great_CoREE. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast. Thank you very much, Little Daddy Brent.
Yes.
Little Daddy. Where can they find you, sir?
And once again, I'm Little Daddy Comedy on YouTube, Instagram. On all platforms, Motown on Facebook.
You're on TikTok?
I ain't on TikTok.
You gotta get on TikTok. I'm sure there's something you can do every day and say something to the peoples and post that bitch.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Thanks for tuning in, y'all.
Yeah, check you out next week.
Peace.
Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco Podcast.